Welcome to Behind the Bite, where we delve deep into the real life struggles and triumphs surrounding food, body, and weight. I'm Dr. Christina Castagnini, a psychologist and certified eating disorder specialist, bringing you a unique blend of personal experience as a recovered individual with over 25 years of professional expertise. In each episode, we'll share the courageous journeys of individuals who have faced these challenges firsthand, alongside insights from dedicated professionals in the field. Whether you're seeking healing, inspiration, or simply a deeper understanding, this podcast is here to empower you on your own path to a better life. Join us as we explore stories of resilience, discuss the latest insights, and strive to foster a community of support and growth. Together, we can break down barriers, challenge stigma, and pave the way towards healing and living authentically. Welcome, everybody. I'm excited because today we are going to dive into a topic that is sure to resonate with anyone listening who has ever felt confused or overwhelmed by all of that information out there that exists about exercise. And certainly the fitness industry's relentless focus on quick fixes and diet culture can do that. I still hear from so many people that they believe the sole purpose of exercise is just to lose weight. And you know what? Perhaps you do too. And if that's the case, this show is definitely one that you're going to want to stick around and listen to. And joining me today is Michael Ujoya, who is an online personal trainer and performance nutritionist with over a decade of experience helping clients worldwide to take control of their health without resorting to unsustainable diets or toxic fitness trends. Michael has worked with clients in over 25 countries and brings a holistic approach to fitness, ensuring that every aspect of a client's life is considered when designing their exercise and nutrition programs. His background in occupational therapy allows him to uniquely understand and prioritize health beyond appearance. And he is also a prolific content creator, speaker, podcaster, and fitness writer, having contributed to many, many publications. So in today's conversation, he and I are going to talk about everything from body neutrality to the misperceptions about weight, exercise, and nutrition. So if you've ever wondered why health and fitness should be fun and sustainable, or if you've ever questioned, you know, how you can break free from the diet culture mindset, then this episode is definitely for you. So I'm going to go grab Michael and we're going to get into it. All right. Well, Michael, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, you know, we're talking a little bit before we hit record. You are an interesting, you're in an interesting industry, and people might be looking at the title or who you are maybe before they listen and wondering, why on earth am I having you on here, and thinking I might be promoting toxic diet culture. So could you tell us a little bit about you and if you often get people confused about your message and what you do?
Yeah. So my name is Michael Ujoa. I'm a personal trainer, and I kind of usually put myself in the kind of like body neutrality camp, but I mean, there's so many different labels or different groups within the fitness industry. I try and not attach myself to one of them. I usually, when people watch a little bit of my content online, they'll soon realize that I'm not the typical fitness industry approach of kind of weight loss over everything, constantly talking about restriction. And my approach is that our bodies are a really poor barometer of showing how healthy and fit we are. I would always encourage my clients and the people that follow me to start focusing on healthy habits and behaviors rather than the way that our bodies look. And that's kind of like a very quick snapshot that encapsulates what I do as a personal trainer. So I'm a personal trainer and also a performance nutritionist. So I work with everyone from everyday exercises, people who've never really exercised much in their life at all the way up to your kind of higher performance athletes, where we kind of tweak that little 1% to try and improve sporting performance. So I've got a really cool variety of people that I work with. I truly feel like I have the best job in the world. And if I can make the fitness industry a little bit less of a kind of scary and intimidating place, then that's why I'm here.
Awesome. Thank you. And, you know, as you were talking, I was just thinking about that too. So I think we miss sometimes that part of nutrition and fuel for performance. Like there's something to like how you feed your body and the fuel we need if somebody is, say, an elite athlete, and that we miss oftentimes the purpose of food and what its purpose. It's like maybe you could talk to that a little bit more, because I think that's missed.
It really is. It's huge. And it's something that I speak to my athletes a lot about, because especially within the sporting world, that's completely lost. Like we talk about performance and optimizing things for body weight, for competition, and all these things that are incredibly disordered and incredibly toxic. And I think the true element of kind of nutrition and our diets are completely missed, especially within the fitness industry when it's trying to advertise whatever nonsense is trying to advertise. We're constantly looking ways to refine the way that we eat in order to look a certain way or hit a certain number on the scale. And that's where the emphasis is. But diet is so much more than that. It pretty much is everything. Every person that I work with, we put such a big emphasis on food and enjoyment around food as well, because if you get that bit right, like everything else just becomes fun. Like you can just find a way of exercising that feels great for you and your body, right? You don't have to kind of worry about optimizing everything. It's a really cool topic, and it's one I love talking about because there's so much nuance. But unfortunately, kind of social media and nutrition doesn't really allow for that nuance. So you have to sit in one camp and be really militant about it. Otherwise, you're apparently wrong. And it's just, there's no one approach that everyone should be following. And that's always the difficult bit to sell.
So speaking of which, like, are there people you work with who by societal standards don't meet the ideal criteria and wouldn't necessarily look quote unquote healthy on the outside, but are definitely like extreme athletes and very like capable and I guess even in the world, like physically healthy and able to go just run marathons and do all these sorts of things. And people would look at them objectively and say, oh, they must be lazy. They must be unfit. There's no way they can do all those things.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Some of the people that I train who are kind of the fittest, the strongest, they look nothing like the fitness industry or society tells us that we have to look to in order to perform like that. And that's kind of a real foundation point of all the content and my messaging that I'm trying to get across. Even I get it a lot myself. I feel like I kind of look like a stereotypical personal trainer, kind of like white straight male in the fitness space. Like we are dime a dozen, but I don't ever use my body to advertise my services at all, because I don't think it's important. And because I don't do that, I get a lot of criticism online for people saying, oh, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. Look, there's no videos of him lifting or showing himself topless, so he clearly doesn't know what he's talking about. And we've gotten to this weird space within the wellness world that if you don't look like how they say that you're supposed to look, then you don't know what you're talking about. And it's just utter nonsense. I truly believe that health and fitness is represented in our behaviors and not the way that we look. And it's such an important statement, but I really wish more coaches were taking that line.
Well, that's my biggest hurdle, I think, with working with patients is really trying to disconnect exercise and food. And what I mean by that is this, you know, eat less, exercise more, and it's all about weight loss, and that equals health. And I think that's the message, at least from the medical field. And people really can't disconnect the two. Like, it's almost, I say, it's like bulimia, really. It's like, oh, if you eat this, you have to work this off, and that means you're healthy. And if, you know, truly, I think now maybe I'm wrong, but this is how I'm getting it. It's like health equals being in a smaller body, you know, being in a smaller body at all costs. And that's what's so scary to me about these weight, quote unquote, weight loss drugs. They're not weight loss drugs, but they're making people not feel hungry. So they're losing weight and they're saying, oh, well, you didn't have any health complications or health issues beforehand, but because you were in a larger body, we're saying you were not healthy. We're telling you were not healthy, but now you take these medications that could potentially cause health problems, but hey, you're in a smaller body, so now we're telling you you're healthy.
It's infuriating. It really is. Like the amount of time. So I've worked with some women who have been some of the fittest and strongest people that I've worked with. They're awesome. I'm just going to think of one example. I won't name her, who was trying to get pregnant. She went down the route of IVF. She was so strong, so fit and healthy, but her BMI was too high, so they wouldn't accept her for IVF. So we had to adopt all sorts of kind of like unhealthy eating habits, kind of upping exercise activity to increase calorie burn. She had a short space of time that she was able to kind of go through the process. So we had to adopt all these unhealthy behaviors that made her less healthy and less fit, in order to hit this mark on a BMI scale, which says she is quote unquote healthy. And it really is infuriating. Like I'm not against anyone having weight loss goals. I have some clients who have weight loss goals. I think that it's your body. You can do what you want with it. Like society puts such a pressure on us to look a certain way. So I'm not going to criticize anyone if they want to follow those standards. However, a lot of the time, I think I wish people would realize that a lot of their health and maybe aesthetic improvements, I'm going to use in air quotes, would happen if they actually just adopted healthier lifestyle habits and put the emphasis there rather than obsessing over trying to make their body smaller. You can improve all health markers and not change your body weight at all. And I wish that more people understood that. If anyone listening to this has been kind of yo-yo dieting throughout all of their life, going on multiple diets and kind of not getting anywhere, you can improve all your health markers without going down that route. So start on that point. Like find a way of exercising that feels good and you can stick to. Look at what your diet looks like now. How can we add things into it to improve it? Like if you just completely switch your mindset of the way that you approach exercise and food, that's when the magic happens. It's a really, really hard sell because I'm on social media championing this message against a trainer who's promising you results in 6 weeks. Like it just sounds so much sexier than the way that I'm doing it. But I truly believe it's the right way. So we'll keep plugging away with this unsexy
But it is, and I'm glad you bring that up because, we can't talk about it enough. I think those of us who are not promoting the toxic diet culture messaging, I think we're getting a little bit louder, hopefully. But I do think that, especially if somebody's on the algorithm where like that's what they keep looking at, they're going to get more of those kinds of messages and not so much
Yeah.
of you. You're so refreshing. I love watching your
Thank you.
content.
Thank
It's
you.
so fun to watch. Like, go watch his content. It's amazing.
I appreciate it. It's funny, isn't it? We kind of create on that topic. We create this little echo chamber on social media where I engage with like amazing people. I've got some brilliant coaches that I speak with regularly. The people that I've kind of that are part of my community now on social media, I'm like, yes, we're making progress. This is awesome. And then you have a piece of content go viral and you realize like, oh no, the rest of the internet still sucks and we have a lot of work to do. So
But one thing I loved about your content that got me really interested was you kind of going back in time to all of these ads that are decades old and kind of the trajectory of like all the messaging that's so it's just part of our culture, right? And I don't think people question these things. It's like, yeah, of course you watch that commercial where it's like the Special K or like, Weight Watchers and, even Weight Watchers, watch it morph over time in the messaging and how it changes based on what's going on culturally. 'Cause that to me, I don't know, I'd like to hear your thoughts on this. That to me speaks volumes. Like, how can Weight Watchers change their messaging decade after decade after decade if there's just one way to be quote unquote healthier, one way to quote unquote eat right. There's no way.
It's one of those where it's rare now that I work with someone who hasn't had some sort of horrific experience in the past, be it with a certain diet or a certain weight loss group or a certain personal trainer as well. Like I think us as coaches, we're guilty of this too. It's amazing how much toxicity there is out there. And so much of it is there just there to confuse people. Like truly people are confused. We don't know what to do now when it comes to food or with exercise because there's just so much noise. Like even sometimes I'll doubt myself because I'll see something and I'll be like, oh, is that the way that we should be doing it? Everyone is so convincing online. We have doctors, we have nutrition professionals kind of giving us these approaches that sound so convincing, that how is the everyday person supposed to kind of decipher all of this information? So my goal is simply just to highlight all these ridiculous things that we're constantly being shown and tell people why it doesn't need to be like this. The messaging has always kind of been the same. It's still the same now for these diet groups. They just kind of tweak it to go with whatever is kind of popular or trending at the time. Like all these diets that we see propping up, they're just carbon copies of things that we've seen in the past, just with a slightly fancier sounding name, and there's a few more influencers promoting it. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, and to your point, the influencers are promoting it and going viral because they're using their own bodies looking the way society says you're supposed to. So it's like, oh, well, it must work. They're doing it. They're promoting it. I want to look like that.
Mm-hmm.
Must work, right? Whatever work means. How do you sift through that when you're somebody maybe listening today and they're going, well, wait a minute, hold on. Like, it did quote unquote work for me. I followed this influencer's, what they ate in a day. I started to get the body I wanted. How do you talk to somebody like that about like why that quote unquote worked initially and the long-term effects of that? And like, if it actually, those kinds of things, like the long-term effects of, you brought up yo-yo dieting. Like, what are the long-term effects of the yo-yo dieting? Like going off and on things that quote unquote work and then they don't work, and that
I mean, my first question would just be like, if it worked, why do you have to keep going back to it? Like, it's just, it's ridiculous that is something that we hear quite often. But when you start to really kind of get down to the bare bones of it, like why it clearly hasn't worked, because you keep having to go back and try different approaches. It's really difficult. It's so hard to change people's perceptions. I have people who message me after following me for like a few years, and they'll be like, oh, now I'm finally starting to get it. Like, if for our entire lives, we've been bombarded with messages saying that health has to look like this, fitness has to look like this, nutrition should look like this for certain demographics, it's going to take time to kind of break that apart. But it can be done. Some things that I always encourage people to do is, first of all, a great one, because social media is so powerful now, is diversify your social media feed. And it sounds so simple, but it has such a huge impact. If you are only following slim influencers who are always talking about XYZ, like, this is the way that you are going to think, and this is the way that you think fitness and health has to look, and it doesn't. Start showing a wide variety of body shapes, body sizes on your social media feed, of people doing amazing things with their bodies, and you will suddenly see that the game has changed. Like, it doesn't have to look like the way that you thought it had to look before. And that one simple change is amazing. I don't follow many health, like many fitness professionals anymore. I don't find the mainstream fitness social media area motivating at all. I find the more of them I follow, I start to criticize my own body. I start to become kind of critical of my approach, and, oh, maybe I'm not doing enough, or I'm not eating enough of this. And I now have decided to kind of step outside of that space, despite working within it. I now just follow people that are focusing on the actions, they're focusing on the behaviors, and that's what inspires me to get moving and kind of keep doing what I'm doing. And I can't recommend it enough.
So I love that too, because you're being so honest and genuine. I mean, you're in this field and you still get affected by the social media, right? So yeah, that's hard for, and you're in it.
It's really hard. Yeah, it's tough. Like, I've spoken before on social media many times before about kind of my anxiety or my body dysmorphia I used to have when I first started in the fitness industry, never feeling like enough. I was obsessed with following things like Men's Health and Muscle and Fitness magazine. I had pictures on my phones of like physiques that I thought, right, I'm going to work hard and this is what I'm going to look like by working hard. Looking back now, nearly every single physique that I was idolizing, they were taking steroids, like without a doubt taking steroids. I mean, it's something that is not spoken about enough within the fitness industry. The large majority, if not all, of fitness models will be achieving those looks by dodgy means. However, if they talk about it, they won't get the work. So I just really like to be honest about kind of all the like my history of how I've got to this point I am now. Like even if you go back to my content a few years ago, my message is constantly changing as I'm learning and trying to take on as much information from brilliant content creators. And yeah, it's a slow process, it's a journey, but it's worth investigating and pursuing, because once you get to the point where that stuff doesn't impact you and you're not kind of constantly obsessing about it, it's just so freeing. Like I enjoy all my workouts. Like my diet is so varied. I enjoy every type of food. No foods are off limits, and I feel in a great place with it. And that's what I hope everyone else can achieve.
So that is like, I know, I mean, I'm with you on that one. But when I tell people that, they're like, no, you don't understand. I can't eat XYZ, right? Like, I can't. If I do, I gain weight in like a minute. Almost, well, 2 points to that. One is this notion of like these weight gain foods, these bad, quote unquote, bad foods, right? These fear foods. But these rules they made for themselves, but also this belief like, if I gain weight, that's such a bad thing. Like, so keeping it off at all costs. So I want to kind of hear your thoughts on that. Like, why so much fear? Like, if I eat these foods and I, gain weight, like, this is such a bad, bad thing. Like, that means I did something wrong. I'm unhealthy. I don't know. Tell me
Yeah,
some of your thoughts on that.
I mean, it just kind of comes back down again to the body ideal that's created by the fitness industry, the wellness industry, whatever you want to call it. Like we're constantly told that we have to, once again, be slim, and that's the way that you are going to improve your health and be healthy. Whereas, I think a lot of people, it's always a tricky conversation topic because it's so different for everyone. But I think some people need to accept the fact that they're not supposed to be in a slim body, right? If you're constantly having to diet down and starve yourself to achieve a look, that is not healthy for you. Like you shouldn't be looking like that. So your healthy will probably be including those foods that you've been cutting out your diet because you think they're bad for you and feeling so much more energized. Your menstrual cycle might come back and be more regular. You're going to be able to perform better when you do your workouts. You recover better when you do your workouts. Your cognitive performance is going to be so much better. All these things can improve if you just stop obsessing about making your body as small as possible. And it's a really difficult one because I get why people are frustrated. But it's why I think it's our job as personal trainers to constantly keep championing this message that we don't have to look that way. Like you really don't have to look that way. Your body is unique. Like stop idolizing someone else's physique or the way they look, because you have no idea what they did to achieve that.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you this. So I belong to a gym because, I sit all day. I like it for movement. I don't do it the way for the reasons I used to do it, right? It's a completely different thing. It's just stress relief and I just like moving, right?
Yeah, I love that.
But that being said, I keep getting these emails and I keep thinking back, like, gosh, if I was my eating disorder days, how would I take this email, right? Like, oh, come get your, fit, yearly fit, analysis or whatever, where they do your body fat analysis and this and that and whatever. And I'm thinking, first of all, I don't care. I know how I feel, right? It's fine. But that's very triggering, I think, for a lot of people. A lot of gyms do offer those things, right? Where they do this analysis of you and kind of tell you where you're at and give you these, suggestions. And what are those based on? Are the suggestions based on the body ideal and like a certain size? Like, maybe could you talk to that a little bit? Because that's extremely triggering, I think, for a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, the only reason these gyms are using those machines is it's a sales tactic. Like, that is it. I would also emphasize, like, the research constantly shows that those machines that they're using in gyms to measure body fat mass, muscle mass, bone mass, all this kind of stuff are incredibly inaccurate. They're incredibly inaccurate. So, first of all, they're using a test that should not be relied upon to tell you why you're doing everything wrong and what you need to do to change your health markers. And so off the bat, I would never ever recommend anyone does those gym body analysis tests. If you have a healthy relationship with food and your body and exercise and movement, and you think, right, I'm just going to use this as a rough barometer because I kind of like the data, that's fine. Like if you can step on that and be like, oh, that's interesting, and then go on about your day without ever thinking about it, fine, crack on. However, I just don't think they're worth it at all. So unless your gym is fitted with a DEXA scan, which are incredibly expensive, and I don't imagine any gyms anywhere will have one as standard, just refuse it. Don't use it. Simply ask the person if they're to help, if they are there to help you. What exercises can I do that will help me get stronger? Where's all the equipment that I want to use? Job done. Like, that's it.
Okay. So, how do we get to a point where we determine health by means other than the BMI or objectively what people look like? Because that's my dream, right? That's my dream world. How do we
Same.
get there?
If I had the answer, that I would be delighted. But sadly, I don't. I think all we can do is, sadly, I think the wellness beast is too big, right? Like, I don't think we're ever kind of getting it back in the box. So we just have to constantly keep trying to champion this message and try and change the narrative a little bit. There's always going to be body ideals. There's always going to be pressures to look a certain way or act a certain way. And I think we're naive to ever think that that's not going to happen. However, if we can just kind of keep pushing this message out there, like that's all we can do, unfortunately. I wish that I could. My goal is always to kind of grow my social media following to have as big an impact as possible. But I appreciate that I'm just one personal trainer, living in Edinburgh, trying his hardest, to change the messaging. Yeah, if anyone else has the answers, please let me know. But we just got to keep going.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine how we get over that hump. I hear it each and every day, people ask me, like, there's no way someone in that big of a body or larger body can possibly be quote unquote healthy or like able to do, I don't know, these activities that you say they're doing. And I'm like, I look at people and I'm like, that is, it's like it's a belief system that's so hard to crack. And I don't know. Do you hear these questions too?
Yeah,
Do you
all the
think?
time, all the time. Every time I post videos, I'll get some sort of message about that and people criticizing that approach. Health is such a spectrum. There's a geneticist called Dr. Giles Yeo, who I interviewed a long time ago, who's fantastic. He specializes in kind of body size, obesity, and he's a lecturer at Cambridge University, and he speaks on this fantastically. And he talks about there being like a full spectrum. Like, there can be health at every size across a spectrum of humans, right? The way that I sit in a healthy range is going to be completely different to you, for example. So to assume that all of us need to look a certain way for health to be achieved is just completely bonkers. Like, it just isn't true. So yeah, I get those comments all of the time, and I can keep kind of showing research and trying to prove people wrong. However, there's always going to be people that criticize that, and I don't think there's too much we can do about it.
So, I mean, I know for I mean, as a woman, I would look at people on the media or even out in the world, and I think, well, if certain women look like that at my height, then it's possible for me to look like that. Like, it must be that I'm just doing something wrong if I don't look like that. Like, they're doing something to look like I'm supposed to. I'm just, my body's malfunctioning or I'm doing something wrong so that I don't look like that. And I wonder how many people do have that idea in their head, like, oh, because my body doesn't look like that, like, what am I doing wrong? Instead of maybe thinking, wait, maybe I'm not doing anything wrong. Maybe my body's just not meant to look like that.
And I think once again, what I said earlier is like, you truly don't know what someone is doing or has done to achieve that look or what they're going through. And I think it comes down to who we are idolizing as a society. Like, the people that we always idolize when it comes to exercise and nutrition are athletes, for example. Like, you'll see high performance athletes, all the famous names on front of fitness magazines. Like, there we go. This is healthy, right? What is not spoken about enough are the eating disorder rates of athletes or people that work within the fitness industry, the body image issues that exist amongst people that work in the fitness industry and who are the athletes that we see every day. They are terrifying, these stats, and I wish that they were spoken about a little bit more. If you realized how unhealthy in terms of relationship with food and bodies these athletes have, we would stop putting them on this pedestal. In order to achieve that kind of optimal look for performance usually requires some pretty disordered and unhealthy things. The amount of professional female athletes who haven't had a menstrual cycle for a long period of time because they're over-restricting themselves to weigh a certain weight. Like, all these little things that don't get spoken about really need to be. Yeah, I think maybe that is the secret, is trying kind of pushing that message out there as hard as possible. But anyone listening to this, go and just Google the stats, like eating disorder rates amongst professional athletes, for example. Like, you would be pretty terrified of what the numbers are.
Absolutely. I mean, I have had, you know, years and years of clinical experience, and I'd love to hear your side, because I obviously work with a different population in terms of what I hear. But definitely, the bodybuilding, you know, that realm, I've heard so many things about, you know, the people who are on the magazines, what they do just to have that look for like 5 minutes, right? Yeah. The horrible things they do for dehydration and starving themselves, and then the, you know, what they do after it, like say an event or being on a photo shoot. It just sounds like their bodies are so torn up and so very unhealthy. And I'd love to hear what you have to say about that, because that's, a lot of people look at bodybuilders and go, oh my gosh, they're so amazing and fit, and I'm just like going, no, they're not.
They're really not. It's quite scary. So I know many personal trainers who take steroids. None of them speak about it on social media. However, they are using their bodies to sell their coaching. You can look like this if you work out like I do. It's a lie. It's a complete lie. When it comes to the bodybuilding world, steroid use is rife. Like, you can't achieve those looks. If you're going into certain bodybuilding competitions that are drugs tested and they are natural, then yes, absolutely. But they look very different to those competitions where people are not drugs tested. So unfortunately, you have all of these coaches. People get into the fitness industry for a few reasons, but a lot of the time it's because but overweight as a child and were bullied, so lost weight, and now they want to help other people do that. They might have had an eating disorder in the past, therefore they've gone into personal training. And it's quite scary that it's all good intentions. However, we all end up passing on our disordered behaviors to the people that we're working with. And therefore these kind of disordered patterns just constantly get worse and worse and worse. But the steroid use rates amongst fitness professionals especially, or gym goers anyway, is terrifyingly high. There's probably not a gym across the country where someone isn't taking steroids within it. And I think a lot of people are probably quite shocked to hear that. These bodies that we think are, oh, that's, that person's just working hard, like, it's potentially not. It's quite scary.
So for anyone listening, and maybe you don't know all that much about it, but from what you do know, what are the dangers of using steroids?
Many, many things. Like heart attack issues. People have many heart issues when they're using steroid. I'm not an expert on steroid use by any means. I've never used them, have no intention of ever using them. You'll see a lot of kind of ex-professional bodybuilders will have many heart attacks and heart operations as they get older. They cause the muscles to get bigger. Your heart is a muscle, and therefore that causes issues too. It's scary. I've worked with actually many ex-bodybuilders who went down the steroid use route, and they will openly talk about how many health issues they now have because of what they were doing. In my eyes, it's not worth it.
So again, if anyone's listening going, oh my gosh, I took so many steroids in my past, like, is there anything, like if they were to work with you years after, you know, they've stopped, is there anything they can do to promote their health so that they could maybe counteract some of what maybe they've done to their body? Or
not really. I think if there's damage done, there's damage done. That would need someone far more qualified than I am to support you. No, they would simply just be back to the kind of usual things that we promote, right? Kind of managing stress levels, kind of finding that optimal exercise rate in terms of kind of enough to kind of give us the health benefits without adding too much stress to our lives that are already probably quite stressful. Healthy diet, sleep, all those, all the kind of boring basic things that we should be focusing on, really.
You know, so you said that thing, healthy diet, right? And some people are going to be like, okay, what is that?
Fair. Yeah, fair point. Yeah.
Because you did bring up, you know, I eat everything.
Yeah. So let's talk on that. That's an important point. So a healthy diet is going to be completely different for every person. It's always quite sketchy, isn't it? Using that term healthy diet, because it does mean different things to different people. It depends on your access to food, first of all, your income, what can you afford, like where you live, is there. Are you in a food desert where we can't get access to healthy, nourishing ingredients? So I think it exists on a spectrum once again. So you always have to take that with a pinch of salt. The way that I always encourage people to approach their diet is take stock of it in whichever way you feel most comfortable. That can simply be kind of sitting down, thinking about what you eat on a weekly basis. It could be keeping a very vague food diary, and kind of look at your diet and say, right, how can I improve this in any way? And usually as soon as you say that, the first thing people are probably thinking of is, oh, I should probably not eat this. I should probably take out this from my diet. So automatically it's a really negative thing. So every client that I work with, it's, we use the kind of add, don't restrict approach, where we say, right, this is what your diet looks like. Here's a few things we're going to do to add into your diet to improve it. And that's your starting point. And automatically, it's such a kind of positive experience. There is no way for your diet just to be like, right, this is healthy. But there are ways that we can slowly improve the healthiness of our diet.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, because I think people can go down the too lean eating, if you will, or the orthorexic
Agreed.
Route, right? And that's,
completely.
To me, I love that you say you can add things, because I do think there needs to be variety. I often hear people say, oh, this is what I'm eating. And I'm going, where's the variety? I mean,
it's true. Like food is there to be enjoyed. And I think people lose that, especially when they're trying to get, once again, quote unquote, healthy. So that's why I always say the kind of sentence of every food belongs in a healthy diet. Like every type of food belongs in a healthy diet. Of course, unless you're allergic, intolerant, for example, yeah, then don't eat it, please. However, as soon as you start cutting out foods or telling yourself that you're not allowed these things, that's when it can start to become quite a big issue. So I had this conversation actually this morning with a client of mine. She was like, oh, I've been having dessert nearly every day, is that okay? I'm like, yes, like absolutely. Like your diet is great. We're focusing on protein intake is looking great. So you're recovering well. Like we've added in loads of fruits and vegetables into your diet. Enjoy the dessert. Like honestly, life is too short to not enjoy food. So yeah, that's kind of on the path towards a healthy diet, if you will.
I just love that you say these things, because I think that's what people aren't getting. Like, there is a purpose to food. It's not like, oh, eat the protein for weight loss or because you want to look this way. It's like, there's a reason people need protein in their diet.
Yeah.
Like, and it's not for weight loss.
Yeah, it's not. It's to kind of keep you feeling satiated, help with blood sugar levels balancing, like it's your recovery between workouts. So if you're finishing workouts being like, oh, I'm really sore all of the time, maybe your protein intake is low, up that and you might feel great. Like there's so many ways that we can just switch the mindset of how we're approaching our diet that can make such a huge difference. If your mental health is not the priority from the outset, like always, change your approach. Please change your approach.
So, you know, and I always like bring this up because there's this thing about carbs that like scare people. So when people are not eating carbs, it's not, you know, I don't need them. I don't eat them. Like what happens? I mean, I can get on my soapbox, but I want to hear your take on that. So.
Yeah. I mean, carbs are amazing. Like, first of all, they taste great. So please eat them because food should be enjoyed once again. But they are so important. Like if you are someone who has any daily tasks that they do, if you are someone who exercises at all, carbs belong in your diet. You will perform so much better by consuming them. And the research continually shows this. Mm-hmm. You will never find any kind of athletes that are training or feeling well that don't have carbs within their diet. Like they are important. People have just been terrified of them for so long because we're told they're fattening when they're not. without kind of going down the calories in, calories out, bro, kind of approach. Like it all comes down to a calorie balance. So like as long as the only reason people think they're fattening is because I don't actually know. There's from so many different diets in the past, right? I'm trying to think of one point. There isn't. I think it's just that, first of all, the way we store carbohydrates is the thing that terrifies people. So people will eat a big meal that has carbohydrates in it. They'll weigh themselves. They'll be like, I've put on loads of weight. Where actually it's just the way that we store carbohydrates in our body. We store them as glycogen with water. Therefore, the scale weight will jump up. And that's normal. Like this is just how your body stores energy. So there's all these little things around carbohydrates that have just made people feel terrified, and they don't need to be. So if you are exercising at all, please eat carbs. Please eat carbs. You're just going to feel so much better. The kind of movement at the moment around kind of keto, the carnivore diet, all these kind of big influences that are kind of scaring people about fruits, vegetables, rice, pasta, this kind of thing. It's fine. You can eat it. Please eat it. Unless you're intolerant or allergic to it, they can be part of a healthy diet and should be part of a healthy diet, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't think people know ketosis is a toxic state. Like they think, oh, keto diet's the way to go. And I'm, why don't we talk about this some more? People are actually get really sick and some people can die.
There's been many serious health issues from people following keto diets, especially the carnivore diet. People are taking it to like a huge extreme now, and it is terrifying. I mean, even like the lead carnivore guy on social media recently came out saying he's going to start eating fruits and vegetables again because his health is starting to deteriorate. So I just think it's very scary that once again, we idolize these certain people that are telling us things because they look a certain way. Like they've all got bodies that we think look healthy, therefore they must know what they're talking about. And it's a very, very slippery slope. The healthiest diets are the ones that have balance and calm to them. Like, don't go to the extremes. You don't need to do
Thank you. Listen, people.
it.
Listen to
Please,
what
please
he's saying. I know it's
listen.
easier said than done. I totally get that. Like, I
It
know when
is.
you're in the throes of disordered eating or an eating disorder, it's very confusing, and the eating disorder wants to grab onto rules and just make some day-to-day behaviors and decide like, okay, I'm gonna stick to this, and if I deviate from that, I'm very scared to like try anything new. I totally get that. So I'm not, making light of anything, but I think, if you can plant a seed in somebody's mind that,
Exactly.
this is possible, the more you hear it, the more hopefully it'll sink in. And I do think if you're not eating enough carbohydrates, it's really hard to think clearly. And I do think that's hard to make a change because your brain's just not getting enough to, fuel, really. The brain's atrophy if you're not getting enough fuel and enough carbohydrates. It's true. So
It's one of those things where people think like, oh, well, you can get by without carbs. They're technically not essential, so why do we need them? But I think it's just look at the bigger picture. Like just because your body can survive in a certain way doesn't mean that it's optimal for you, for your health, or for your performance. So yeah, it's but please eat carbs. That's my overriding message there, please.
Okay, and before we end, I want to touch on one more thing really quick. This misperception, or I guess this idea that only people in larger bodies have like knee problems, shoulder problems, joint problems, and it's because of their larger bodies and their weight that's really exacerbating these things. And like, I will often say to my patients, look, people in all sizes have knee problems, back problems. But there's this message, I think, that it's like, oh, it's because of your weight that that's why you have this.
It's infuriating. It is
Yeah.
infuriating. I have it with clients a lot, where they'll have an issue where they'll need to see a doctor, a physio, a physical therapist. Sorry, I'm thinking of different terms for different countries here.
This okay?
And they'll go and see their doctor for this issue, and they'll be like, "Ah, oh, it's because of your weight." Like, it's not. This is clearly not because of their weight. However, certain medical practitioners, certain fitness professionals, whatever it is, they just can't see past that. And it comes down to us kind of thinking like, what's the answer here? And I don't know, apart from us just championing the message again. But yeah, it happens all of the time. There's a really cool piece of research actually that I shared on my Instagram a while back about knee injuries and running, and it kind of assessed people in larger bodies who were kind of, they used the BMI scale, which is always a bit sketchy anyway, but they used the BMI scale, and they actually showed that people with larger bodies had fewer knee issues when running than those in normal, this was the term they used in quotes, normal size bodies. So it's there we go, a clear example that it's just not as obvious as people think it is. Stop labeling people just because their body is large, that they're unhealthy, they're unfit, because it's just not true.
And I often think, I get so mad because if you need a knee replacement, you know, and you're in a larger body, I've had hundreds of patients over the years, literally, you know, they're denied the knee replacement because they're in a larger body. They're told you need to lose weight before you get the surgery. They're in pain. And I'm thinking, well, they can't move. They can't walk. They can't function. If they're told lose weight to get this replacement, I'm going, well, if maybe they got the knee replacement, they could be more mobile and like more functional in their life, and like things would be better. But it's like they're being punished and kept from like actually being out of pain.
Yeah, it happens all of the time. I've worked with many people who've been the exact same issue, and it's terrifying and it's heartbreaking for these people that can't get the help that they want simply because their body looks a certain way. It shouldn't happen, but it is so, so common.
Okay. I mean, yeah, anyone listening, it's, yeah. I mean, and I tell people all the time, I know so many people who have back pain, knee pain, shoulder pain, and they're in like the body shape, sizes, weights are like all over the map. It has nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
So yeah. Thank you for sharing that and reiterating that. So, and that study, I'm going to go find it.
Yeah, I will. I'll send it over to you, and you can maybe put it in the show notes, maybe underneath this, so people can have a look at it.
Awesome. Thank you. Love having things like this. Okay. Any last final words before we end?
I don't think so. I just one thing I always like to say to people is like health and fitness, coming from a personal trainer, that we're usually like shouting at people, telling them they're not working hard enough. But health and fitness should be fun. And I want people to always remember that. Like if your approach to food or your approach to exercise at the moment is filling you with dread, you hate doing it, then change it. It does not have to be like that. We're always told that there's an optimal way to exercise, and there isn't. As long as you are moving your body in a way that you enjoy, amazing things will happen and health improvements will be found. So that's kind of my parting words of wisdom. Like this should be fun. So find a way to enjoy it.
I love that. That is a great message. I think lots of people listening probably are just doing it because they feel like they have to. So thank you for
like
that.
I get it. Like some days it will be like that. Like I am a personal trainer, and some days I hate exercising. Like there are so many things I would rather be doing than doing a workout. However, I've found a way of exercising that is most enjoyable for me. I've created the routines over years of like, right, this is going to make me feel great afterwards. So you kind of get into a good habit. So yeah, don't expect it to always be this kind of like rainbows and clouds and puppies, you know, like it sometimes it is a little bit of a grind to get started, but if you can work on finding a method or a pattern that works for you, it's worth it.
All right, well, thank you so much. How can people find you on social media, maybe if they want to work with you? I know like you're not in the United States, but people listen from all over, so
yeah, so I work with people worldwide. Actually, I think just over half my clients are actually based in the US now. So that's okay. Yeah. So you can find me on Instagram or TikTok, and it's at the same handle, same name. My name's very strange, so I never say it. I always kind of point people towards it. But it's basically my name with PT at the end of it. So Michael Ujoa PT, and that is on all platforms under that. Or my website is just michaelujoa.com, and you can reach out for coaching if you'd like.
Awesome. Well, thank you again so much. I really enjoyed this. You gave a lot of great information, and hopefully it'll spark some shifts and some thoughts and beliefs in people. So thank you so much.
Yeah, I hope so. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening today. Behind the Bite podcast is created by me, Dr. Christina Castanini, as part of the Los Angeles Tribune Podcast Network and produced by the Tweaky Tales. I love hearing from my listeners, so if you like the show, please like, rate, and subscribe to it on whatever platform you're on. And for anyone who wants to understand their relationship with food better, or who might be wondering if they have an eating disorder, I have a free 9-week e-course at my website. Just go to www.behindthebitepodcast.com to get your free e-course today. Please note, this podcast is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information in regard to the subject matter covered. It is given with the understanding that neither host, the publisher, or the guests are rendering legal, clinical, or other professional information. If you want or need a professional, you should find one to work with who can address your individual needs and situation. Thank you.